Come on, Key Point Church, those who are watching online and those who are in service today, come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen? Woo! when we get to heaven, and I pray that you'll get there with us in a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to make sure you know that you're going to make it. It's called a salvation prayer. But I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to sing songs like that, and we're going to be able to switch from language to language on just whenever we desire. I want to sing Spanish, boom, I can sing Spanish. German, boom, German. I mean, just to worship God, amen. And that song that we just sang, that is just preparation for what we're going to be doing in heaven. Amazing, amazing. Won't you turn with me in your Bible? Wait for it. Come on, turn with me in your Bible. You ready? Get this. God has again brought me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, all right? So turn with me. Those who are watching online, I want you to open up your Bible or your Key Point Church app and you can follow along. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And today we are concluding our message series, Made for This. I want you to look at your neighbor. Come on, if you're in your living room, you may have to look at yourself in the mirror. If you're by yourself right here in our person service, live service, look to your neighbor and tell them, you were made. Come on, tell them, you were made for such a time as this. And then follow that with, God, please help me understand this time, all right? Because it's very confusing, all right? But you were made for such a time as this. You were made for this. And I want you to tell your neighbor the title of today's message, and it is this. You have the power. Come on, look to your neighbor, look to your friend, look to your child or your spouse and say, you have the power. Come on, say it with me. Say power. Those who are watching online, I want you to get locked, get engaged. Don't worry about the dog right now. Don't worry about it. The neighbor's cutting their grass right now. You can cut yours later, all right? I want you to get locked and loaded right now. Say power. Power. Father, we thank you that we have the power. And today I pray as I speak this word, as we conclude this message, and you take the messages over the last month and a half and make this beautiful paragraph and this story in which we're living, God. Let it be enlightened to us. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Use me today as a voice to this community, to this nation, to this world. Use me as a voice, Holy Spirit, to this body of Christ, Key Point Church, those who are watching online. Use me today, and Lord, let your word change me. Come on, right there, you're sitting right there in your living room. Say, Lord, change me today. I want to be changed. I want to be more and more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody here live and online, say amen. Again, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Josue. Amazing. Come on, y'all give it up for my boy, Jose. Josue. Appreciate you, man. Love how he plays the keyboards. Amazing. But the Holy Spirit keeps bringing me back to this scripture. And again, it's beautiful how you read a scripture over and over and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, how you begin to see the many different layers in one scripture. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he says, if my people, here is Ezra speaking about the power of a person's will. And he says, if my people who are called by my name, and here he says it, will, everybody say will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I, there's God's will, there's God's desire, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Oh, come on, somebody, say amen with me right there, all right? Because if there's ever a time where we need God to heal our land, it is now. Why if? Why did Ezra lead off with if? Because, again, he knew that an action on our part had to take place. He knew the power of a human being's will, and he knew that we had to exercise our will and begin to pray, begin to humble ourselves, repent, turn from our wicked ways, and exercise our will and call out to the supreme ruler of the universe who hears us from heaven. Let us press pause right there, and let's talk about that. Do you know when you start praying and calling out to God, he hears you? Amen? is nothing worse than to be pushed away and stiff-armed and say, nope, I'm not listening to you. No one likes to be given the deaf ear. But whenever you start praying and humbling yourself, all of a sudden you start moving the ear and the attention of God. He starts saying, wait a minute. I recognize her voice. I recognize his voice because I remember the day I created her and I created him and I gave her a specific voice. I gave her and him a specific voice. I missed that voice. It is great to be heard, and I'm here to tell you, if you don't hear anything else, when you pray, when you humble yourself, and you seek your Heavenly Father, he hears you, amen? And not only will he heal you, but Ezra said, the supreme ruler of the universe, he will forgive you, which is the biggest and greatest need of every human being, to be forgiven of their sin. And then he will heal our land. He'll heal our land. Then in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. Let me say it this way. Jesus is teaching disciples how to exercise their will and move his will from heaven to earth. He's teaching the disciples that there was going to have to be an action that took place just like Ezra. He says what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And here it is right here in verse 10. And your, get it, come on, you got to get this. Your what? What is God's will? His desire for you. Lord, so he's teaching the disciples, here's how you pray. Pray that my desire be done where? On earth, planet earth, the third rock from the sun, as it is where? Come on, say it like you know what I'm talking about here, all right? Say it like you just read it out of the Bible, all right? Where? Where does he want to do that? On earth, yes. And what's in heaven? Unity, perfect joy, fullness of life, health, unity. So according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 6, God has given us more authority and control of our future and this nation than we could ever imagine. And if there's something in your life that doesn't resemble heaven, then you can pray and begin to declare that it will be changed. I'm going to say that again, all right? If there's something in your life that doesn't resemble heaven, then you can begin to pray and declare that it be changed. Because that's what prayer is. Write this down. Prayer is declaring God's word and will over your life. That's what prayer simply is. It's taking God's word and his will, his desire, and speaking it over your life. So if your family life doesn't resemble heaven, then you begin to speak God's word and God's will over your life and declare that it will be changed. Amen. If your financial situation doesn't resemble heaven and God's word and God's will, then you begin to speak and declare heaven and God's word and God's will over your financial situation, and it will be changed. If your emotional situation, and I believe right now we're emotionally at a crisis in our nation, the Holy Spirit needs to heal us emotionally. And if your emotions do not resemble what heaven says you can have when it comes to your emotional stability and health, then you need to begin to speak and declare what God's word says about your emotions over your life, that it can be changed. Amen? Just like the song we just sang. God has already spoken his word. Are you speaking his word? That's the big question. It's beautiful. My staff did not even know the direction that I was going in, and they chose those songs 3 weeks ago, and they worked perfect with my message. Some of you are thinking, man, they chose those songs perfect this morning. No, we're not that good, all right? I promise you, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So if your physical life doesn't line up with what his word says, or anything in your life doesn't line up with what his word says or his will, you can pray and declare it be changed. Amen? Because here's what I want you to know. You got to get this. Whatever you declare, if it is God's word and his will, heaven has to back it. Amen? I'm going to say it again. Let this powerful statement grip you today. Whatever you declare, if it is God's word or his will, when you begin to declare it, heaven has to back it. Now, his timing may be a different timing than you. That's where you have to take 2 weeks' message and apply it to your life. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to be persistent until I see heaven in my life in this certain area. Amen. And as I look across this room, and I'm sure those who are watching online, you have seen this come into play in your life. And you can say story after story, Pastor Casey, this was the situation. It didn't resemble heaven. And we began to speak and declare God's word, and he did a miracle in my life. I know it. I see him. I see the stories, I hear the miracles. We're gonna speak God's word. Now, have you ever spoken something or said a word and you thought the moment that word left your mouth, whew, that's gonna do some damage? Or you thought, man, I wish I could take that back, huh? Or maybe you backed that statement up with a open mouth, insert foot. Come on, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. We've all been there before where we've said words and they did massive damage, and we thought, oh, man, why did I say that? That's not the damage that I wanted to do with my words. When I got married, I and still am learning, all right, how to control my mouth, how to control my emotions through my mouth, very sarcastic, and would just kind of shoot words across the bow of the boat, if you will, kind of like backhanded compliments. You know, Stacy would come out of the room and I would say stuff. In my heart, I was trying to be sincere, but what was coming out was not sincere. I would say, huh, you gonna wear that? Now, how would you interpret that if you were a lady? All right, come on. You would be like, excuse me? Well, that's exactly what Sister Stacy would say. She's like, oh, hold up. We need to talk about this because this ain't gonna work in our marriage. Sit down at the dinner table, and she would pull out this meal that she had been cooking on all day long, slaving in the kitchen. And I would say, you call that a biscuit? And she would like, oh, no. You get up and you go get yourself a Burger King, boy. You're not eating my biscuits, all right? And here's what I quickly learned. I learned quickly that in my marriage, my words could bring heaven in my marriage, or my words could bring living hell in my marriage. Mm-hmm. I learned quickly that my words determined if I was gonna get a kiss that night or if I was not gonna get a kiss that night, all right? I quickly learned that my words determined if I was gonna sleep in the master bedroom or on the couch, all right? I quickly learned that. And then, of course, we apply the scripture where it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We've 99% of the time have applied that, and thank God that scripture works because it really helps us. But nonetheless, I quickly learned that my words had power. Think about this world that we're on right now, planet Earth. Think about it. It's amazing if you think about the creation. God made something out of nothing. How did God create something out of nothing? How did he do it? He what? He spoke it, exactly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, then God said, it didn't take him long right out of the box to begin to tell you how powerful our voice is. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that's, I'm jumping ahead. Verse 3, let there be light, and there was light, all right? I'm so excited. Then verse 6, let there be space. God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that's what happened. I love that. And that's what happened. Let that echo in your faith today. Verse 9, then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. Verse 11, then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. And that's what happened. Are y'all getting the flow here, right? All right, just in case you haven't figured it out yet, verse 14, then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Verse 15, and that is what happened. Oh, then skip down to verse 26. This is where it gets amazing. Then God said, I love this, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Let us. Who is referring to here? He's referring to a collaboration that he is having with Jesus and the Holy Spirit right there. The Trinity. Hey, let us make mankind, how? In our image. In our likeness. So when you were created, God put his, you were created in his image, in the image of Jesus Christ, in the image of the Holy Spirit. Not only in his image, but in his likeness. In other words, he's put all these great things inside of you that only can be attributed to God. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and cover all and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Every time God spoke, every single time there was a subsequent action, God spoke and there was light. God spoke and there was water. God spoke and there was land and trees and fruit-bearing plants. God spoke and there was his most prized creation, man and woman. Talk about a powerful 7 days, right? Whoo! 6 days, actually. On the seventh day, he rested. God spoke. God spoke. You know, God didn't think creation into being. He could have, right? Almost certainly he could have. He didn't think it into being. Rather, he spoke it. He declared it into being. In other words, what God was doing right off the bat was exercising his will for you and I, to show that you and I, how important our will is, to exercise our will and speak and sense. Check this out. You gotta hear this. And since we are made in God's image, he created us in his likeness, we too have that same creative power built in our voice. That's why you have the power already. Because you were already created in his image, in his likeness. So you too have the same ability to declare God's word and God's will and see it be done. You too have the same ability to take dominion. Therefore, you have power. You have power. Come on, look to your neighbor and tell them you have the power, all right? Come on, look at, come on online, tell them you've got the power. And you gotta follow with this. Come on, get me. Say this. Say, this is normal Christianity. Come on, look to your neighbor, look to your friend, say, hey, this is normal Christianity, which is a plug for next week's message series, all right? This is normal Christianity, and for some reason, Christians don't act normally like this, but not as Key Point Church goes, all right? As for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord like this, amen? Come on, need to hear a better amen right there. Don't think for a second the enemy doesn't know that you have power in your voice. Don't you dare think that for a second. You don't have to read Twitter or Facebook or Instagram long or listen to the news and understand the power of our spoken voice. So the question is, what is coming out of your mouth? What are you saying? What are you declaring? What words are you speaking? When it comes to the enemy, he doesn't want you declaring words of life. He doesn't want you declaring words of unity. He doesn't want you declaring words of restoration. That's not what he wants. He wants you to be spewing disunity. He wants you to be spewing hatred and anger and all the things of this world. He wants you to be vomiting lies, which is what he is. He is the author and the progenitor of lies. He doesn't want you to understand the power of God's word and the power of the truth of God's word, because the truth will set you what? He wants you to keep speaking lies about yourself or believing lies. He wants you to keep speaking disunity and insecurity and this and that, because if you don't understand the truth, then you'll never be set free. You have the power in your voice. Thank God for Jesus and the cross, because he did defeat this enemy, this liar, through the grave. That's why the Apostle James was teaching on the power of the tongue. Turn with me to James chapter 3. Come on, I'm going to land this plane. It's going to be good, all right? Come on, everybody say, "Dis good." All right, James chapter 3, all right? And let's look at how small negative words have massive impact in our life, all right? Everybody say, power. James is talking about that right here. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Verse 4, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue, verse 6, also is a fire. Oh, Lord. And a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire. What? Man, these are some strong words here. By hell. Woo-woo. All right, come on. All right, here's three things that the Apostle James is teaching us right here. Number one, write this down. Your powerful words, they turn. Words will turn. Even the smallest words can turn. That's why James compares the tongue to a small bit put into a mouth of a large horse. Now, I grew up with horses, and I had some quarter horses, and one of them, his name was King Jody MacBear. That was his official title on his registration, King Jody MacBear, and we called him Joe. Joe was a stubborn quarter horse. He was an amazing horse. We used him to heel and rope and do all these things in rodeos. It was pretty cool. But Joe, you couldn't budge that dude. I mean, if you walked up to him and tried to push him, you would not move him. You would struggle. But I learned early on in me learning how to be a cowboy, if I put a small bit, and it weighed maybe 2 or 3 pounds, some of them even lighter than that, if I put a bit into his mouth, I could control that 2,000-pound animal by just controlling just this little bit in his mouth, because that's what happens. And your words, too, can turn something. Your words can turn your life around, not by straining or struggling or pushing with your own power, but by the creative power of speaking God's word over your life. Amen. That's why you have to ask yourself, what am I speaking over my life? That's why it's so important that you read God's word every day, not just to read it and religiously say, oh, check, I read his word, but to get his word inside of you so that when you're in a situation that needs godly words to turn, you can say, nope, and speak those words over that situation. Why? Because words turn. He has given you the power in your tongue. Here's the second one, words direct. Words direct. Raise your hand and be honest with me if you've ever been on a carnival cruise out of the port of New Orleans, Louisiana. Come on, raise your hand. Yep, that's some crazy cruises right there, all right? It's called the Redneck Riviera. You can wear jorts and you are accepted, all right? It's amazing. They're in Mobile, Alabama, or Beaumont, Texas. You know what I mean? It is crazy down there. Now, I've never been on a cruise, all right? My personality, for some reason, I just don't think I'll do well on a cruise confined in a boat for 4 to 5 days, you know, eating food. I just don't think I would do well. I'd have to have a powerboat connected to it or something, or, you know, fly me off a helicopter. Then maybe I can deal with it, you know. But people love going on cruises, not so much anymore. But one day, probably the cruise lines will be back up because people love that. But if you think about a cruise ship, they're massive. And if you've seen one in person, the first time you see a cruise ship, you think, man, that thing is massive. And then if you were to see up under the water and actually look at the rudder that turns or directs that ship, you would be amazed at the proportion, how small it is. And the Apostle James is using this analogy of a massive ship being directed by a very small rudder. Now, here's the question, and he even used the word pilot. Who's the pilot that controls the rudder? You. What's the rudder? What's James referring to right here? Someone was going, my tongue. Yep, that's it, all right? That's exactly right. And what's the ship? Your life. your marriage, the direction where your kids are going, your home, the world that you live in, and where do you want your life, your marriage, the world that you live in to go? Where do you want your marriage, your family, or finances, or your ministry to go? Where? Pay attention to your words that you speak. Make sure that they line up with God's word and God's will when you are speaking, all right? Your words will direct. Speak that over your children. Speak that over your grandchildren. Speak that over your future. Lord, my words have power. You've given me the power to direct my life. And Lord, right now, I may not be able to direct everything. I may not be able to control everything, but I can control where I'm at right now. So I speak to me. I speak to my emotions. I speak to my mind and my heart. You see how powerful this is? So true. Then James, he takes it a whole nother level, which I believe is very applicable to where we are today in our nation and what we're dealing with. James even says, after he talks about a small rudder, he says, not only can this small rudder can control a ship in the open water, but it also can control a ship that's faced against powerful storms, that's even in the midst of all these crazy, crazy winds. In other words, here's PC's version, when all hell has broken loose in your life, your words can direct you through that storm. Your words can. Just last week, I was having a moment. Man, I'm telling you, I felt like all hell broke loose in one area of my life, and I was struggling with some things, and I just couldn't. I knew what to say. And God was actually bringing this message up to me. Hey, you better get this right before you go preach it, because you know you can't preach what you don't use first, right? Come on, someone say amen right there. I was like, yes, God, I got to get this, all right? I've got to get this. Help me, help me. And I could not. I tried, and it didn't change until I confessed it to Stacy. I said, I need you to help me right now with this. And you know what my wife began to do over me? That's why it's very important that y'all are speaking the same words and speaking the same language. She began to speak words of life that directed my ship out of this dark area, out of these winds, all right? And it was the power of her voice that helped me that day. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. Your words can turn, your words can direct. And then number three, the Apostle James says, watch out, because your words, your tongue, they can set fires. He compares the tongue to a tiny spark of fire that can destroy a massive forest. Now, my family, we love fire pits. We've got a fire pit in our backyard, and we've been through several of them. We get the little cheap ones, and they get real hot on the bottom. And, you know, let me give you a little context here. I grew up in South Louisiana, all right? It rains every other hour in South Louisiana. There's no such thing as burn bans in South Louisiana. I promise you, never one time on the news did I hear, oh, do not start a fire. There's a burn ban in South Louisiana. Never once, all right? So I moved to Northwest Arkansas. You know, I didn't take into account the climate change and the lack of rain here and when I was starting the fire and so forth, nor did I hear on the news that day. I mean, it just wasn't language that I was comfortable with or could entertain. Fire ban. Fire ban. What is a fire ban? Well, I quickly learned what a fire ban was. We decided to have a little fire pit that night, and we had the fire pit out on our grass, and it was in the fall, and it was dry, and the grass was very dry. Guess what happened? You believe it? Yes. We started a fire. PC started a fire, all right? I started a fire. It got me so scared. Stacy was inside, you know, preparing dinner or whatever, and I was outside, and the fire got out of control fast. In our backyard, when the wind blows, it's like a tunnel. It hits our back fence and just blows right through. Our backyard's real narrow and real long, and that fire just spread through my backyard within seconds. I started screaming, and I think Hayes, my oldest son, he heard me screaming, and I'm like, call 911, call the fire department. I mean, it was going that bad. It's like raging up the fence. I could just see me burning my neighborhood down. It's licking up against the bricks on one side of my house already, moving quickly. He's calling 911, actually has them on the line, and I'm fighting to get my hoses out, and Stacy's out there panicking, and we finally, with the grace of God, got this fire out. The police department didn't have to come. We did burn some of our fence. We had to replace that. But to God be the glory, we got that fire out. Amen. It took me about 6 hours to come down off that high. I mean, my heart, it's like, oh my God, we're not doing another fire pit, all right? Fire pits on the concrete. We poured a big concrete slab just to have fire pits now. We are nowhere near the grass when we do fire pits now. And just like the tongue, man, you can start a fire. Nothing demonstrates this more than in your marriage. Nothing more. You think of a small comment that turns into a huge fight. About to go to sleep, and you're tired, she's tired, and you say, oh, babe, I love you, and then you say something like a snarky remark, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're having World War III. The kids are like, are y'all okay in there? Can y'all fix me a peanut butter and jelly? Nope. But the flip side of that is that one small word could totally affirm your marriage and set a new blaze in your marriage, amen? And start a new fire in your marriage. So if you don't like where you're headed, as I close, then start declaring where you want to go. It's that simple. It really is. If you don't like where your marriage is, then start declaring where you want your marriage to go. If you don't like where you are emotionally or physically or spiritually, then start declaring God's word and God's will where you want to go. The amount of heaven that you experience in your life is directly related to what leaves your mouth. Come on, I need to hear more. That's good, all right? The amount of heaven that you're experiencing in your life right now is directly connected to the words that are exiting your mouth. So the greatest favor that you could do for yourself is learn how the Apostle James right here is teaching us how to tame our tongue. And I believe it's tied directly to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 6. We do that by humbling ourselves, submitting our will to His will. We do that by praying, getting on our face, seeking His face. Lord, it's Your will. Lord, it's what You want done in my life, not mine, and turning from my wicked ways. That is the blueprint for opening the door to heaven in your life. You were made, listen to me, for such a time as this. Let that sink down in your spirit. You were made with the power of God's voice inside of you to make a difference in such a time as this. Let me get you to bow your heads, those who are watching online, those here in our live service as we close. I want to pray for two groups of people in this room. Two groups of people. The first are those that need to get saved. I believe there's a few of you that need to get saved, need to give their heart to Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're watching online, right there, just bow your head. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, the power of our voice. It says, if you believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. You shall be saved. You shall be saved. And if you're in here today and you want to get saved, if you're watching online and you want to get saved, and I know there are some watching, I want to invite you right now to pray this prayer with me. Those in here in our live service, pray this with me. Those online, say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. And I believe in my heart that Jesus, you are my Lord. I believe that you saved me. Thank you for changing my life. You are my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want you to keep your head bowed and keep your eyes closed. Those who are watching online, I want you to do this with me. Do this for me and for yourself. Those here, if you prayed this prayer and you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth, see, salvation starts with you believing, and then you confess what you believe. It's the power of your voice. If you've just prayed that prayer, you believe that was your prayer this morning, I want you to raise your hand quickly around the room and say, that was me. Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, man. God sees your heart. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you, man. God sees your heart. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else before we move on? All right, I want to ask you to stand to your feet as we close. This Pastor Zach's going to come out in a moment to direct us in how we leave. But those who are watching online, why don't you just raise up your hands right there and just say, Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody in this room, just lift up your hands. Jesus, say, take my life. You have me. I am yours. And God, I thank you that Jesus destroyed the works of the enemy on my behalf. And today I can walk. Come on, everybody say, I can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I can speak and call those things that are not as though they are. Lord, thank you for the creative power of your word and your will in my life. And Lord, today, come on, right there where you're standing, those who are watching online, say, I decide to speak heaven on this earth, in my family, in my life, in this city, in this state, and in this nation. Lord, we need heaven on this earth, and we thank you that you'll hear us from heaven today. Forgive us of our sin and heal our land. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus Christ this morning.